Romans chapter 11. Let's begin reading in verse 22. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. On them which fell severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shall be cut off. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. For if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, that's Adam, and were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, that's Christ, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? Christ was a Jew. He was of the line of tribe of Judah. He was the line of the tribe of Judah, the son of David. That's what Paul's talking about when he says the natural branches can be grafted into their own olive tree. According to the flesh, they were kinsmen of Christ. So he says, behold, therefore. Now, we behold the goodness of God upon his elect, whether they're Jew or Gentile, both Jew and Gentile. We behold the goodness of God upon his elect through faith in Christ. And we behold the severity of God upon the reprobate, whether they be Jew or Gentile, through unbelief of Christ. Look back up there in verse 20. He says, because of unbelief, they were broken off. That's the cause why they were reprobated, because of unbelief. Thou standest by faith, by faith. God's goodness upon his elect is always through faith in Christ. Always. And God's severity upon the reprobate is always because of their willful, determined unbelief. Always. God cut off the physical seed of Abraham, the nation of Israel, because of their willful unbelief. And God sent the gospel to the Gentile world, and he's calling both the Jew, his elect Jew and Gentile, through faith in Christ. I've titled this, The Goodness and Severity of God. Now, first of all, the goodness of God falls upon God's elect through faith in Christ. He says there in verse 22, behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fell severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness. Otherwise thou also shall be cut off. God's goodness includes God's gift of faith. We don't just conjure up faith. We have to be given life, and we have to be given faith. And God's goodness includes that life and that faith. When he says here, if thou continue in his goodness, he means if you continue in that faith in Christ, which God in his goodness gave you. Now, we see this admonition all through scriptures. Our Lord Jesus gave this admonition. He said, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. He's saying it will be proven that you were really called by the grace of God, really given spiritual life, really given faith to believe Christ, if you continue in my gospel. The Apostle Paul gives the same admonition in several places in Scripture. He said back in Romans 2, in verse 7, he said, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing, who seek for glory and honor and immortality, God shall give them eternal life. Those who continue in the end unto faith. Look at Colossians 1 and verse 21. This is a very clear admonition right here for us to persevere in faith. He says, Colossians 1, 21, "You that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you've heard, which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister." You see, all who have truly been born of God have been born of the Spirit of God, and they're preserved by the Spirit of God. So they're going to continue in God's goodness. They're not going to fall away. They're going to continue to the end, being preserved by God. Listen to Hebrews 10:38. "Now the just shall live by faith." That's a statement, a fact. The just shall live by faith. Those that are justified by Christ, they shall live by faith. "But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we, God's truly called people, we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul." If a professing believer continues in the gospel to the end, he proves God truly called him. He proves God chose him from the foundation of the world. Christ redeemed him. The Spirit regenerated him. He's preserved by God. He's truly a child of God's grace. But if a believer that professes to believe Christ falls away, he does not continue, that doesn't slight God's grace at all. It doesn't mean God failed in any way. It merely proves God never called him in the beginning. God never called him in the beginning. Those he calls continue. Those who fall away were not called from the beginning. Listen to John, 1 John 2:19. "They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us." That's because of God's grace. That's not because of anything in us. That's because of God's grace. "They would no doubt have continued. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us." And that's of the sinner himself. So the goodness of God falls on God's elect through faith in Christ. And every true believer, he begins in faith by God's goodness, by God giving us faith. He continues in faith by God's goodness, preserving us in faith. And so every true believer continues to the end in God's goodness. But now secondly, God's severity upon the reprobate is always due to their willful unbelief. Please get this. Get this. This has to do with God's righteousness. Whenever you look at a doctrine, you need to look at it from the viewpoint of what declares God's righteousness. Because that's what this whole thing's about, is to declare God's holy character. What declares his righteousness? Look at verse 23. "And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again." Now, throughout the Scripture, unbelief is always the cause for which God's severity falls upon sinners. It's always the cause. He said back up there in verse 20, it's because of unbelief that they were broken off. Now, go to Ezekiel 18. And I don't have time to read this whole chapter. But I encourage you to go home and read this whole chapter. There was a proverb that the children of Israel were saying. And it went like this. They were saying, "The fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge." It meant the fathers have sinned, and the children have to pay for their sin. God's judging the children because of the father's sin. And God said, you will not speak this proverb ever again. And so he goes through this chapter saying that if a father believes, he'll be saved through faith. And then if he has a son and the son does not believe, he'll be damned because of his unbelief. But then if he has a son who believes, he'll be saved through faith. But then if he has a son who does not believe, he'll be damned because of his unbelief. And here's the conclusion of it right here in verse 20. Men say, well, God's not fair to judge me because of Adam's sin. God says, oh, you're not going to be judged because of Adam's sin. You're going to be judged because of your own sin. Look here in Ezekiel 18:20. The soul that sinneth, not my father Adam, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him. That's through faith in Christ. And the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. That's a man's own fault, his willful unbelief. Look at verse 26. When a righteous man turneth away from his righteousness. You get that? When he turns away from his righteousness. What is our righteousness? It's Christ. And when a man turns away from Christ and committeth iniquity and dieth in them, for his iniquity that he hath done shall he die. Again, when the wicked man turneth away from his wickedness that he hath committed and doeth that which is lawful and right, that's coming to Christ, casting all your care on Christ, trusting his righteousness alone, he shall save his soul alive. Because he considereth and turneth away from all his transgressions that he hath committed, he shall surely live. He shall not die. Yet saith the house of Israel, the way of the Lord is not equal. Have you heard that before? When you declare federal headship, men will say, well, it's not fair that I'm judged according to Adam's sin. God says, O house of Israel, are not my ways equal? Are not your ways unequal? You're going to be judged according to your sin, not according to another's. Therefore, I will judge you, O house of Israel, every one according to his ways, saith the Lord God. Repent and turn yourselves from all your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. You see that? Go to John 3. Christ declared the same exact thing. John chapter 3, Christ declared the exact same thing. He said, verse 17, God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation. Now here's, he's telling you, this is why a man will be damned, right here. That light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deed should be reproved. That's why a man will be damned, because he did not come to Christ. And he says, but he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they're all wrought in God, that God worked them all. When Christ said the Comforter is come, he said the Comforter will reprove the world of sin. Does that mean he's going to reprove the world of adultery and drunkenness and all those things? What did Christ say? He's going to reprove the world of sin because they believe not on me. That's the sin that's damning. Paul declared the same thing in 2 Thessalonians. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 10. That's 2 Thessalonians chapter 10, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10. He says there in the second part, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved, and for this cause, you see what the cause is? It's not Adam's transgression. It's their willful unbelief. For this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Adam's transgression made it so that death came upon us. It brought us into a state so that we can't believe except God has grace upon us and gives us life and faith in Christ. So all the glory goes to God if we believe on Christ. But if we continue in that state that Adam put us in, God says it's because of our own willful unbelief that we will be damned. And that's just how God says it. And that's how He says it throughout the Scriptures. Now, all of these Scriptures have to be done away with if God judges a man who has not willfully rejected Christ, such as a mentally handicapped person. You got to rip out all these Scriptures. Because God said this is how He's going to judge, when a man's willfully rejected Christ. This is why the severity of God fell on the Jews. They willfully rejected Christ. Do you get that? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. God's not going to be charged with unrighteousness. The children are not going to be able to say the fathers have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge. God said, you will not say that. My ways are fair. My ways are equal. My ways are righteous. If I'm damned, it's my own fault. And that's just. That's righteous. Do you get that? I hope you get that. Divine judgment is always just. It's always a matter of just retribution. That's why God says here in our text, Romans 11, verse 23, if they abide not still in unbelief, they shall be grafted in, for God's able to graft them in again. If they continue in unbelief, they'll be damned. But if they turn and believe on Christ, they won't be damned. Now lastly, how is it that a sinner, we all willfully rejected Christ. How is it God's righteous to save us, His elect? Because Christ bore the severity of God in the place of His elect. That's what makes it just for God to call us. He says there in verse 23, He says, if they abide not still in unbelief, they shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. For if thou were cut out of the olive tree which is wild by nature, that is Adam, and were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, that is Christ, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, that naturally speaking, they're brethren with Christ, according to the flesh, how much more shall they be grafted into their own olive tree? Christ is the good olive tree. You remember, if you want to turn to John 15, verse 1, Christ said, I am the true vine, and my Father's the husbandman. And every branch in me that beareth not fruit, every branch that doesn't continue in faith, He takes it away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. You see there, if we bring forth fruit, it's God's doing. Now ye are clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you, except you abide in me. I'm the vine, you're the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, what's going to happen to him? He's cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they're burned. Why? Because he abode not in Christ. Because he continued not in Christ. Everything is pointed to Christ. And God says, this is why men are going to be damned. They rejected my son. And it's going to be a righteous thing because each one that rejected my son, God said, that's why I'm going to damn them. That's why I'm going to damn them. They rejected my son. And all rejection, all sin is a choice. You know that? All sin is a choice. Men like to talk about, well, God made me this way. God didn't make you a sinner. Men sin because Adam sinned. It was all in the purpose of God, but our transgression's our own fault. And we come forth in that dead state so that we choose to sin. And therefore, sin's our own fault. And unbelief is the chief sin for which men will be damned. That's clear throughout the Scriptures. And the reason that's clear is because God is righteous. When men fly in the face of God's righteousness, that doesn't sit well with me. Because God's righteous. He doesn't do anything unrighteously. He didn't judge His Son until He had put the sin of His people on His Son so that it was a just thing for God not to spare His own Son. That's how righteous God is. He would not judge His own Son until He had made Him sin for us. But because He did, because Christ bore the shame of His people, and Christ was made a curse because of that for His people, He took away all that severity of God toward His people so that there's nothing now from God but goodness toward His people. And God's going to call His people, and He's going to give His people life, and He's going to give us faith, and He's... When it says here He's able to graft them in again, this is just an analogy. Understand that? It's not like they were cut out of Christ and then they're going to be put back in Christ. They've always been in Christ from the beginning. But just as we see it, it looks like they were cut off and God's grafting them back in. That's just an analogy so we can understand it. But they were always in Christ. From the beginning, God chose them in Christ. They were in Christ when He redeemed them. And they're going to be called into Christ and made to see they're in Christ and inseparably united with Christ by God's grace. So that's what we have here. That's why God's able to graft them in again, is because Christ justified them on the cross. So God's goodness must fall on God's elect. Look at Isaiah 54:7. This right here talks about it. Isaiah 54:7. God says, for a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. For this is as the waters of Noah unto me, for as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee nor rebuke thee. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. God told Ezekiel to tell the dry bones to live. And I'm calling on the dry bones this morning to live. I'm calling on the dry bones to live. I'm calling on you to believe on Christ. And God told Ezekiel, pray to God to send the Holy Spirit to give them life. And I'm praying God will send His Spirit this morning and give you life. Don't wait. Life is fragile. Don't wait. I have a friend down in Sylacauga, Alabama. This is how fragile life is. Friday night, his wife heard a noise. She went to see what it was, and he was at the bottom of the stairs. He had fallen down the stairs, and she called 911. He was unconscious and they life-flighted him to the hospital. And he was brain dead. And he never regained consciousness. That's how fragile life is. It can be gone in an instant. Steps this man had probably walked up and down 100 times, 1,000 times. That's how quickly your life can be snapped away. Don't wait to believe on Christ. Don't put it off and think, well, I'll believe on Him one day. You won't ever do it. Seek Him. Listen to the Lord. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He's near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him. And to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. Come to Christ today. Don't tarry. I pray God bless that. Let's stand together. Our gracious God and Father, we thank You that You are righteous and holy. We're thankful, Lord, that the judge of all the earth always does what's right. Because of Christ's righteousness, it's right that You call out Your people. And because of men's own willful unrighteousness in not believing on Christ, it's righteous that You damn men. And Lord, we're thankful that You're righteous. We're thankful that You in Christ, through His blood, have made Your holy justice to be the friend of Your people. We're thankful that we must be called because You're just and holy and righteous. Save us, Lord, because of Your righteousness. We ask that You be with our friends who are suffering. Be with our brethren everywhere. And help us to understand this great truth that You set before us. For Christ's sake, it's in His precious name we pray. Amen.